Yeah, just asking what they, what soul. Okay. Come in.
Nice.
Steve, how are you doing?
You okay?
Okay.
You down? So you've got the ops machine. They're looking for the ops machines. It's being used.
You want to dig it?
Do you need it?
What? Which ops machine?
Just this one.
Well, that's
the wings. Do you need it?
It's swinging.
How would you dig it out of sufficient?
We're just looking for the machines at the minute.
Yeah, this
I'll let them know that it's needed.
This is it. So I was asking about the soul. I understand that with our conditioning, the soul is so conditioned in previous lives, and because of all the senses and the blinding of the senses, but really can't connect to the Lord, and it's really starving to connect to the Lord. And so when we do our process of chanting or whatever process we take to dissolve those layers of conditioning, that the soul can start seeing the Lord and makes that connection and gets the happiness, and that's a much higher platform of happiness than what any of the material senses give, which are sort of temporary, and I'm looking for that. I understand that, but what I wanted to ask you is that, what does the soul feel, I'll specify my question better, that when the material senses meet their objects and get this temporary happiness or the illusion of the true happiness, does the soul feel anything of that happiness? Or if there's a grief or if there's a pain or there's suffering of this material body, does the soul feel any of that?
Okay. It's the soul that's perceiving. So it's not my eyes who are seeing you, or my brain, it's my soul who's seeing you. I, brain, these are all just material elements. It's like my glasses. My glasses don't see you. I'm seeing. It's a seer. So the soul perceives. But sometimes it perceives based on its understanding, like it thinks I am suffering. It actually perceives the pain of the body.
It does perceive the pain.
It does, just like it's we see, we hear.
Right.
It's all being done by the soul, so it has perception, because the soul has the original senses by those of the soul.
Right.
So the soul perceives suffering. However, when it identifies with the body, then that suffering inconveniences like it's a dead end street, there's no way out.
Right.
So Prabhupada felt pain. He didn't identify with his body, but as long as you're in this body and you're using this body as a vehicle, unless you invoke some kind of mystic city,
mm-hmm.
then you'll feel pain. But Prabhupada didn't identify with that. And his consciousness was fully absorbed in service. So, what do you feel? Now, it's not the soul that's really suffering, but the soul's perceiving the suffering and pain that comes to the body. And identifies with that body, and so it identifies with the pain.
And when you say identify as opposed to suffering itself, how does that differ?
It's like we were talking last night. When you're dreaming at night and you're suffering, you're suffering.
Okay,
you're although seeing? Actually you're not really suffering, you think you're suffering.
Right, okay.
But because that's illusion, because the thinking that you're suffering is as bad as suffering, just like people who have mental problems.
Yeah.
There for them it's as real as physical suffering, and
right.
even worse. So, because the soul thinks that I'm this body and therefore I am suffering, whereas the liberated soul thinks this body is experiencing this pain, I'm in this body in this material world, but I, the soul, am not suffering. I'm perceiving that connection, painful connection between senses and sense object. Yeah. it's there. It's a reality.
And can soul differentiate between this illusion of happiness, which is met by the material senses, by the senses meeting their objects, as opposed to the true happiness? Can it kind of differentiate? And if so, can it not guide the intelligence and the ego, the false ego, all the time to do the correct things and try and use the free will in a proper way?
Unless. Unless someone disconnects from their material body, unless one becomes very advanced spiritually, or one uses some yogic siddhi to actually disconnect from their body, just like a great devotee may be in pain, and he'll experience that pain, but if he switches over and becomes absorbed in his relationship with Krishna and in Krishna's lila, then he disconnects from this material world. So when he becomes absorbed like that in samadhi, and then he won't feel. But simultaneously, one will actually be able to experience both pleasure and pain. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was with us, he was both feeling the inconvenience of the material body and simultaneously experiencing the transcendental bliss that he's always in. Mm-hmm. Sure. There are similarities. Transcendental pleasure has symptoms of ecstasy that accompany it. Mm-hmm. And some of those are psychological, some of those are behavioral, some of those are just physical symptoms. And it's the same like that in material life with suffering. For instance, if I'm suffering, if I may be in pain, I may feel some pain. And if the pain gets too much, I may start to cry or bang my head against the wall. Mm-hmm. That becomes a behavioral pattern. So, yeah, emotions have corresponding external symptoms. Yeah. Our real business is, that's why we need to reestablish our swarup, because that's ultimately the only way to be permanently situated in a blissful state. As long as we're in this material world, it doesn't work. That's why there's two types of liberation. One is called Swarup City, and the other is Vastu City. Swarup City is when one is in a material body, but is fully realized spiritually. Vastu city means when you shed the material body. So as long as the connection with the material body is there, the connection with the material world is also there.
And when you're saying about Swarup Siddhi, you're indicating that to get onto the soul platform, to disconnect the, not disconnect physically, but disconnect mentally, the connection
with the
body, not identifying it.
Swarup Siddhi means that one's aware of his eternal name, form, relationship with Krishna, service, and other things. It may not, if one's absorbed in that swarup and disconnects from the material, that's one alternative. But a preacher has to always relate to the world around him. So like Srila Prabhupada, who had his Swarup Siddhi, but still, you can't, if you disconnect, which is sort of the characteristic of a Uttama Adhikari or Mahabhagwa, then the whole purpose of being in the material world gets lost. One doesn't then preach. So generally, that's why even the Mahabhagavats, like Prabhupada, they keep themselves on the platform. They conduct themselves like Madhyamadikaris.
Right.
Go ahead, do what you need to do.